Verse 21. And this says, because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain and empty or worthless in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed beast and creeping things. Now in verse 21, that's what the world has done. They have stepped away from God. They are continuing to step away from God. And because of it, God's going to allow another God to rise up. He's going to be called the Antichrist. And the world will accept Him because they have stepped away from God. Well, the same way you step away from God is the same way you step to God. And that's what I've been teaching on. Now, first thing I taught was you glorify God. You put Him number one in your life, more important than anyone else, even your mate, your family, your friends, your work, anything else. God's number one. And to prove God's number one, just wait around till the end of everything and see who's still standing. It'll be God. He's the one that's going to be standing. Hopefully you're with Him. And the issue is that we are to glorify God. I'm talking about how to bring life into your light, life into your life, God into your life, and make it personal, relevant in your everyday life. Now, number one, glorify Him. Number two, be thankful. Be thankful for everything God's done, everything He's doing now, everything He's going to do. Just start thanking Him. Just start talking to Him. Just start blessing Him and what He's doing. And you need to really have a life of thanksgiving. Some people have a life of complaining and murmuring all the time. That's their life. Oh man, it's raining this morning. And the sun's not out. And I can tell this is not going to be a good day. And it won't be. It won't be. No way it can be. You've already spoke your day before you ever got started. And so you have to speak life into it. The sun's shining where God is. The throne isn't in darkness. And you have to understand, all you got to do is start thinking about God. Start worshiping the Lord. Start being thankful. Start being thankful you have a place to come and worship. Start being thankful that you have a place, you have food to eat today, and all of that sort of thing. So being thankful. The third thing was, I've been speaking on, is your imagination. Basically, what you imagine in your life controls your life. What you fill into your life and what you meditate on, what you picture in your life will control your life. So obviously on Saturday night you watch a horror movie, and they had one on last night, I think Saw 2 or something. I don't even want to imagine what that is. I don't even want that in my imagination, because I'll guarantee you watch that dumb thing. You're not going to want to get up on Sunday morning and go to church. You're thinking about all that horrible stuff. And so God says you're in charge of what you think and your imaginations. So therefore, you're in charge basically of your life. Because what you put into your mind, what you put in your imagination is going to control your life. And so you can see yourself victorious in the Lord. You can see yourself well. You can see yourself being the very best person you can be that God's called you to be. Or you can see yourself in this sea of mass humanity that's going nowhere, as we realize more every day. Now, it's very simple. It's something like this. If we elect people to Washington that are not Christians, what do we expect? We're going to have everything man can do without God. And you can see where that's going. We're responsible for that mess because the ones we vote for, to some extent. We also should encourage people to run for office that know the Lord, that are guided by the Lord, and will stand up for the Lord in the Congress and every office in the United States of America. And so it's the same way in your life. You guide your life. You guide it by what you take in. You guide it by what you listen to. You guide it by what you read. You guide it by the people that you associate with. All these things add to or take away from your life. And that is the Word of God here. If you take God out of your imagination, you take God out of your thoughts, you take God out of your life, you're going to live for the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's just that simple. There's nothing else to live for. And if you live for yourself, you're living for self. That's just the way it is. You're going to go as far as you can go without God, you see. Now, I'm just telling you how it is here. It's not any other way. This is the truth as far as the Word of God says. Now, today, I'm going to talk about the fact of our heart. It says, their foolish heart was darkened because they didn't glorify God. They weren't thankful to God. They didn't fill their imagination with the things of God, and so their heart became dark. Another way to put it is hard. You ever heard of a hard heart? That's a heart without God. It's very simply what that is. The Bible says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's what the Word of God says. Now, so we have to get our heart right. We have to get our heart soft to God. We have to get it pliable to the Lord. We have to have a clean heart, the Bible says. Put in me a clean heart. We sing that sometimes. A heart that's filled with the light of God instead of the darkness of the world. Now, you won't hear this message probably on television unless you're watching Christian television. Now, sure, we're to act right, we're to act good and all that stuff, but it's supposed to come from the heart. That's the very center of our being, our heart. And I'm going to talk about this today. It's not going to happen all at once. It's going to happen over a period of time. Once you look in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 29. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 29. I think Jesus quoted from this book more than any other book, Deuteronomy. Very interesting. But we want to go to chapter 4, and it's kind of a summary of everything. Chapter 4 and verse 29, and this says, "But if from there you shall seek the Lord your God, thou shalt find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul." Now that says right there, anybody can find God that wants to find him if they seek him with all their heart and with all their soul. That soul is your mind, will, and emotions. The heart is really the spirit of your life. And so if you seek God, you will find him. The problem is that people generally are not seeking God. You are, or you wouldn't be here today. Now it's interesting to me how this thing is going to work out at the end. If I had a pile of dried leaves right here, and I lit a match and threw them in those dry leaves, those leaves would burn up. All be left would be ashes. The Bible says, the holiness of God is like a fire. The holiness of God is like a fire. And at the end, fortunately right now, but at the end, everybody's going to stand before God, and His holiness is going to burn up everything that was not of God in your life, just like a pile of leaves would burn up. Those without God will be thrown into eternal fire, which means they will burn forever and not be consumed. I can't imagine of such a thing, but that's what the Word of God says. And why is that? Because the holiness of God is like a fire. Everything that's holy in your life that is like God will not be burned up, will be with Him forever. It's really, that's the way it is. And so the holiness of God, when you bring the holiness of God into your heart, you bring the holiness of God into your soul, it will begin to burn the things out that are not like Jesus Christ. And if you get into the Word of God and hear the Word of God taught and practice the Word of God, those things are gold, silver, and precious stones. They will not be consumed. They will be yours forever. Now, God makes that very clear in His Word. At the end, all there is either heaven or hell. Hell, the Bible says, is a consuming fire that burns forever for eternity. That's the kind of place it is. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 24. This says exactly what I just said. Deuteronomy 4, verse 24. For Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. So God is a consuming fire. That's one of the things He is. He's a lot of things, but consuming fire is one of them. Now, some people, very simply, are going to end their life with nothing because it'll be totally burned. Not one thing. Some Christians will have some things burned. Not themselves, but some of the things will be burned because when you stand in the holiness of God, which is a consuming fire, everything that's not of God will be burned up. If you know Jesus Christ, you personally will not burn, but the things that you have done that were done without the direction of God will be burned. So it's advantageous to us to learn everything we can about God, seek everything we can about God, learn everything, act in the things of God, so that what we do will not be consumed at the end. Because the Bible very simply says that it will be if it's not of the Lord. Now, when a person becomes separated from God, that is called really death. Death is a separation. If you separate your heart from God, it is dead to the things of God. If you separate your life from God, it is dead. Your life is dead to the things of God. The only place there is life is God. Every bit of life on this earth today came from one place, and that is God. Didn't come from any place else. Man did not bring life. God brought life. So, obviously, if something is to live, it must have the breath of God. It must have something of God to even survive. Now, so what we have to do, if you become insensitive to the things of God, part of you will begin to die. And that's what's happened to a lot of people. And you can understand then when you talk to them, usually just before they die, and you say, would you like to accept Jesus? Would you like to hear about the cross of Calvary? Would you like to know how much God loves you and they don't want to have anything to do with it? What has happened? They have separated themselves from God. So therefore, they are dead to God. And when they die, even just before they die, they have no ability, no power, nothing to receive the things of God. And that's why sometimes you talk to people just before they die, they don't even want to talk about it. I've gone into hospitals to pray for people that are dying that do not even want prayer. Can you imagine? Yes, you can imagine, because the Word of God says, if you are insensitive to God, if you separate yourself from God, if you separate yourself from His Word, if you separate yourself from yourself from His church, from His people, from everything of God, then you're in the process of dying. At least spiritually, and eventually physically. That's why people die. Everybody dies. Because man in general, through Adam, separated himself from God. Now, if you no longer respond to Him, if you don't hear the voice of God, it means very simply you have a hard heart to God. What I find is a lot of times people are mad about something. People are mad at God because of something that might happen 30 years ago. And so when they're mad at God, obviously they can't be sensitive to God, so their heart's going to become darker and darker and darker and darker. And you ever heard somebody say, that old hard-hearted person, you know, just can't get along with anybody, just doesn't care about anybody, just want to stays off to themselves, and they'll die that way. And when the fire comes, I said, and when the fire comes, you want to hear the truth, or shall I try to sugarcoat this thing? If I didn't love you, I wouldn't preach this message. So I wanted to make friends, I'd just read some poems. Humorous ones at that. Look in Ephesians 4 and verse 17. Ephesians 4 and verse 17. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm preaching to myself. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. This says, and this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that henceforth you walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, here it is, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. In other words, if Christians are involved in those kind of things, they haven't learned Christ. Now, it says they have been alienated from the life of God, or the life that is in God. Darkened is the same thing as blind to. They're blind to it. They're darkened to it. The heart can't perceive. The heart can't understand. The heart can't hear from God. And so most people don't live from their heart. They live from their own mind, their own thinking, their own reasoning without God, because they have a hard heart. That's the only thing left. That's the only way they can live, because the heart is the part that responds to God. That's why a person can't be saved unless, in a sense, they're saved in their heart. A person doesn't become saved in their mind, they become saved in their heart, you see. Now, so, the only thing a person without God is left to do is to live their life with what they see, what they hear, what they taste, what they smell, just from their senses that come from the world, because they have no channel to God to get His life. Now, God didn't create us to live that way. God didn't create us to live without Him. I lived without Him for 33 years. And it was a mess. In fact, it was such a mess, I was trying to find a way out, and God was the way. You see. Fortunately for me, God didn't give up. We might give up. God doesn't give up. And God didn't give up. God didn't create us to live that way. Our natural man should not be the part of us that drives our life. Now, as Adam and Eve, man was created to live, the normal life was to live directed by God. That was the normal life. So anybody that's living not directed by God is abnormal. They're not normal people, according to the Word of God. They may be nice, they may do good things, but they're not normal people because they're not communicating, being directed by God. He speaks to us in our spirit. He speaks to us in our spirit. Now, Adam's spirit was in constant communication with God because he was born by, he was created by God. He was placed in the garden of God. He was innocent at that particular time of sin and all those things. In fact, the only way that Adam could sin is the way he sinned. God said, don't eat of this tree, but I want you to eat of this one. He's saying the same thing to us today. God said, don't eat of this tree because you'll live without God. Eat of this tree and I will prosper you. I will bless you. I will love you, is what he said. Now, man sinned. Communion was broken. His spirit died immediately. Became hard. Separated from God. That's what happened with Adam and Eve. And we are born that way, separated from God. So we have to sometime in our life come to God. They didn't cease to exist. You don't cease to exist in hell. People just keep right on. It's just not a good place. There's no such thing in the Bible as somebody ceasing to exist. It's not in there. Nobody ceases to exist. They're going to exist somewhere. Now, that's what the Bible teaches. There's no such thing in the Bible. People say, oh, well, I'll just die and I'll just be nothing. Everything will go dark and that'll be it. Not so. That is absolutely not true. There's no such thing. We will remain what we are, lost or saved. Whatever we are, that's what we'll be. When somebody dies, their body turns to dust, but they don't cease to exist. The Bible tells us very simply what happens to the spirit and soul when people die. It's very clear. The body goes into the ground, deteriorates. The spirit and soul either go to be with the Lord or they go into at this age, goes into a holding place called Sheol or Hades. Makes it very clear. And then eventually, after the white throne judgment, then those without Christ, those dark, without God, will be cast into eternal fire. That's what it's called, eternal fire. But the person doesn't cease to exist. That would probably be the most horrible thing I could possibly think of, that somebody would exist forever in fire, separated from God. That's about the worst thing I could possibly think of. It is the worst thing. And so I don't want anybody to go there. That's why I teach and preach what I do. Now, that's what happens. Now, let's look in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Now, this tells us the condition of a person who has Christ and doesn't have Christ. And you have he made alive, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Did you cease to exist? No. Dead here means you were separated from God. That's what death is, separation. Separation from the soul and spirit from the body, separation from God is called death in the Word of God. Okay, now, you can still function for a while, but you're separated from God. Nobody could function forever without being separated from God unless they were taken out of God's provision. God the Father himself had to provide a way back, and that way back is the cross of Calvary. That's why we talk about it all the time. That's why I pray about it every Sunday. The cross of Calvary, the cross of Calvary, the cross of Calvary. That's the way to God. That's the door. That's the way. There is no other. Jesus said, I am the door. He also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. I believe it. I'm staking my life on it. That's why I tell people without Christ about it, because they have no chance any other way. And that's what the Word of God says. Now, people just start ruling their own lives based on what they see, based on what they feel, based on how they feel. That's the way they live. They live by their senses from the world, the flesh, and the devil. They are dead as far as God is concerned. But when we're born again, we have access to the very throne of God. Now, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. I want you to see this because this is the gospel. First, it's just so clear and very simple. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. This is the Apostle Paul, and here's what he said. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. That means saved out of eternal fire. That means saved to God. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel. That's the way somebody comes through Christ, who died for our sins, was buried, and rose from the dead on the third day. Now, that we call that being born again. You let God dictate and dominate your life, and so forth. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Okay, now this is a promise to believers that have received Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't walk by what we see. We believe what the Word of God says. I want to say that again. We don't walk by what we see. That's for lost people, people without Christ. We walk by faith. Every day when I get up, I believe that eventually I'm going to die and be with Jesus, or he's going to come before I die and take me up. Hallelujah. I believe it. I guide my day by it. I believe it every day, every hour, every week, every year. I believe it by faith. I don't see it yet, but I see it in my mind. Hallelujah. I see it in my imagination. It guides my life. It keeps me going. It keeps me wanting to do what God wants me to do, because I know the end, hallelujah, by faith, because that's what the Word of God says. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Now, that's it. That's what you have to believe. You're just going to go around, well, I guess I'm going to have to do the best I can. I'm just going to have to make the best I can of it. I'm just going to have to struggle through. That's not the way it is. If you're a Christian, if you're lost, it is. It's just that simple. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith and not by sight, for we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we shall be accepted of him, because we must all, Christians, appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it's good or bad. Now, every Christian is going to stand before the Lord. All the good things in Christ will be saved. All the things without Christ will be burned up. Just that simple. We're going to go into heaven with perfection. Hallelujah. I say we're going into heaven with perfection. Hallelujah. We couldn't go to heaven if it wasn't that way. Whether you go to hell or whether you go to heaven, you're going to go through the fire. Are you listening to me? Because that holiness of God is either going to condemn you to hell forever, or it's going to burn up what can't be accepted in heaven, and then you're going to go to be with Jesus. That's the way it is. I believe that. I walk by that. I don't walk by what I see. I mean, I like to walk around in the rain without an umbrella, but that's not going to have anything to do with eternity. And so there's no sense complaining about it. Hallelujah. Might wash something good, or who knows? If I get wet enough, something good may come out. I don't know. Okay, now, you have to walk by faith. Some people get saved. They are saved. They will go to heaven, but they live like they're not saved. And they're miserable, and they don't have any peace. No peace in their life at all. If you don't get up in the morning and have peace about God, there's something wrong. I didn't say everything's going to go wonderful all day. I didn't say everything's going to go wonderful all week. But I said God's there. And, you know, we're going. Where is your confidence? Where are you living? It's either going to be by sight, what you see, or I don't know, if I went by sight and looked in the mirror, I'd commit suicide probably. I think I'm 20 and look like I'm 150. I don't know. And I said, who is that in that mirror there? you know what I mean? I mean, I'm not gonna live today by sight. I'd get a wheelchair, sit down in it, never get up. So I don't care what my eyes see. I know what God says. Are you listening? I know what God says. And that's it. That's what I live on, what he says. That's called faith. So we're going to have to draw on our potential in God. I'm going to draw on what I can be in him now. I'm going to draw on what I'm going to be with him in eternity. That's what I'm drawing on for today. That's what I'm drawing on for tomorrow and the next day. Look in John 14:26. John 14:26. You're listening, say amen. All right. We won't have too far to go here. John 14:26. You know, God, when you get saved, God leaves part of himself with you, called the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. But the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Now, go to John 16 and verse 13. Nevertheless, John 16:13, nevertheless, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he'll guide you into all truth, for he'll not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he'll show you things to come. He'll glorify me, for he'll receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. and so on. Okay, now, I'm either going to believe what I see, believe what I read in the news, believe what I read in the newspaper. I'm not telling you those things aren't true, but I'm going to tell you in God they're not true for me. Are you hearing me? I am not going to waste my time reading that stuff. I'm going to be listening to God. I'm going to walk in faith. I'm going to be in the Word of God, and I'm going to guide my life by that. And I'm going to tell you, I'll wake up in peace in the morning because I have God. Doesn't make any difference what goes on all day. I know I have God. If somebody drops, if Abinajob, Get a Job, or whatever his name is, drops a bomb on Rockford, I know where I'm going. Hallelujah. Yes.
To bring to hell.
We had a thing a couple of days ago. We're in the grocery store. And this guy comes running up to us, and we had prayed for him before he had cancer. I don't think he's a Christian. As near as we can tell, we've tried to talk to him about the Lord. He hadn't been real open, but he's open for prayer because he had cancer. And so he comes running up, and he said, I was surprised when we prayed for him. He was in a wheelchair. Now he's up walking, and
he
looked pretty good to me, I thought. And he said, I want you guys to keep praying. He said, keep praying for me. I said, okay. So we're walking out of the store. We prayed for him right in the middle of Walmart one day. And he kind of stayed back a little bit, so maybe we weren't going to pray for him in the grocery store. But, and even when he was leaving in the parking lot, he saw us again, waving, rolled his window down, hollered at us, keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. I said, okay, we'll do it. Okay, well, all right, I'm going to tell you, I don't know about you, I have to stay in the Word of God all the time. There are so much things going on and so many things happening that have nothing to do with anything that you're just drawn into those things, and they mean absolutely nothing. And so the Bible says, it's an interesting thing, the Bible says we have two minds. Two minds, M-I-N-D-S, two minds. Look, I'm going to show you where it says that in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. So it depends on which one you want to use. Ephesians 4, 22. And this says, that you put off concerning the former manner of life, that old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lusts. Verse 23. And be renewed in your mind, or renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So, you have the renewed spirit of your mind, you have the renewed mind, and that old mind is still around. So you have to decide which one you're going to use. It's just pure, it's just that simple. There's the natural mind and the spirit mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, the natural mind and the spiritual mind. Which one are you going to use? That's the issue. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13. All right, it says, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Word of God. Spirit of God, excuse me. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually understood. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Okay. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So if you become a Christian, you have the mind of Christ. Natural mind still there, but I call it the mind of the Spirit. The Spirit's come alive with Christ. It has a mind, it has thinking, it has everything. And then you have the mind of the flesh, or the mind of the soul. And you have to decide which one you're going to build up, which one you're going to live in, which one you're going to use to think, which one you're going to function by. Now, just to show you, now another scripture, the last one, James 4:8. I want you to see this because it's very important. Which mind are you using? James 4:8. Here it is. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. That means part of the time you're living in the mind of the Spirit, part of the time you're living in the mind of the flesh, part of the time you're living in the mind of the world, part of the time you're living in the mind of the Lord. And so you can live in either one. You have to choose. And you say, why in the world can some Christians seem to be soft to some things of God and hard to other things of God? And it's very simply because they're using their natural mind part of the time and their spiritual mind another part of the time, and they're totally confused. They have no peace. They're all messed up. What they need to do, there are some people that need to be in church every time the door opens. I'll tell you, there is. Every time you hear the Word of God, you need to hear it on the radio, you need to hear it on TV, you need to hear it in church, because you need to have your mind renewed so it's going to start thinking like God. And that's what the Word of God does. If you got somebody who's just saved, you need to keep with them, bring them to church, get them under the Word of God, get them into the Word of God. I remember before I started preaching, I had the flu one time for about 3 days. I read through the New Testament during that 3-day time. About a month later, God called me to the ministry. Don't you think it had something to do with it? I believe it did. I had the Word of God so much in my mind, I was listening to God, and it was loud and clear. But you see, the less you're in the Word, the less you're under the Word, the less you're going to hear from God, and it's going to be so small, the noise of the world is going to drown it out. Are you listening to me? That's the way it works. Now, you got to take in the Word of God every single day of your life. It is the mind of Christ. It is the Word of God. The only thing that's going to change your life, change your thinking, change your ways, is the Word of God being in you, conceiving, and then coming out of you in power to do the right thing. And that's just that simple. It's not complicated. Anybody in the Word of God on a daily basis is not likely to rob a bank. You understand what I'm saying? Anytime anybody that's in the Word of God every day and serious about it is not likely to divorce husband or wife. Anybody that's in the Word of God and serious about the things of God is not likely to get into the trouble of this world. Because the Word of God is the power of God. You have to take it in. You can either take in man's word on a daily basis, or you can take in God's word. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to take in a whole lot more of God's word than you do man's word, or you're not going to have peace. You're going to have, there's going to be one tremendous bonfire when you stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. I mean, some of those are going to be bigger than others. You see, so much junk that didn't mean anything. You see. And I find the more I'm in the Word, the older I get, closer I get to Jesus, the less I care about the stuff of this world. I just, serious as I can be, I don't care that much about it. It doesn't entice me like it used to, you see. You need to be spiritually minded. The mind of your spirit must control your life. Now, I started out in Romans. I was talking about the ones that have a dark heart. I call the mind of the Spirit your heart. Now, you know, I've heard all kinds of ideas on what the heart is, but I think that's as close as any, the mind to the spirit. Now, the heart can make decisions. The heart can think. The heart can guide you. You have to live from that. Now, the only thing the natural mind can do is operate what you see, what you taste, what you smell, what you hear, so on, what you touch. That's all it can operate on. It has nothing else. And so you're going to go the ways of the world. So let's go back to Romans 1 now, and I'm going to finish. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Talk about this is all right. Romans 1:21. Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Do you ever wonder how a missionary over in some foreign country that was thrown in jail for years would come out of that jail excited about God? I can tell you, they had God in their imagination 24 hours a day. Are you listening to me? They had God in their imaginations 24 hours a day. And that's what we need to have. We need to start changing the way we think, the way we look at things. We want to see into the heart of God. And the way to see into the heart of God is seeing into the Word of God. And you'll become a different person. Read through the New Testament. You'll become a different person. Keep reading the Word of God. You'll become a different person. You can't stay the same. If you don't have peace in your life, you get in church every chance you get. We teach on spiritual gifts tonight. We're teaching through the Bible on Wednesday night. We do this for an opportunity for you to take in the Word of God at least three times a week just from this place, plus your own reading and everything else. You say, my life's a mess. Get in the Word. My life's a mess. Start getting under the Word. Start thinking like God. You're thinking like the world, you see. And when you separate yourself from the things of God, your heart will get harder and harder and harder. And then you can't hear God when you need Him, you see. I didn't say you weren't going to heaven. I just said you're not going to hear God. And you have to clean up your life there where you know how. You have to be confessed up to date. You have to forgive things of the past. I don't care what they were. Get rid of them. It's like dig a hole and bury them. And then move on in your life. Does that make sense? Let's stand before the Lord.